Dummies of Wrestling, here we are with our Royal Rumble results and my thoughts on everything WWE Royal Rumble. I'm your host, Hollywood Tim Davis. And before we start, I must mention that I am recording in a different location right now, finding it a bit tough these days to find time and places to record since my children are just rabid lately. So apologies if this recording sounds different, but you understand why. I mean, I'm locked in my bedroom. That's right. I'm out of the studio and in my bedroom right now because it's the only place I can record. But if it sounds fine, then disregard what I said. Anyway, WWE Royal Rumble has come, is gone. Another year, we are down. And I will get to my thoughts in a second because I'm hearing a lot of negativity about this Rumble. And I'll tell you my thoughts in a second. But before I do, I am, in fact, Hollywood Tim Davis. As I just said, I was your Dummies of Wrestling champion. I was. I'm going to do things a little differently here, man. I'm going to switch things up just a little bit and give you guys the results on the Dummies of Wrestling Championship that we do. If you have no idea what we're talking about, on this show, every pay-per-view, we do like a little scorecard with predictions, and whoever wins that predictions is the champion. I have been the reigning defending champion for a few months now. Actually, most of last year, I was basically champion because no one can touch me. But sadly, I've lost that title. Yes, we do have a new champion, but who is it? So for the people that gave me their predictions, thank you. Thank you so much. It makes watching the event so much more enjoyable, in my opinion. But I thought we'd start with this because, I don't know, I feel like some people are just here for that and they don't give a shit what I think about the wrestling. So we'll start with that. And if you don't care what I think about the Royal Rumble, then you can switch off the podcast. Hey, I just saved you almost an hour. You're welcome. So let's do it. Let's get into the scorecard predictions. And I have got it all tallied up. As I said on the last episode, that surprise entries, if you pick some and they didn't happen, it's minus 1 point. For me, I was minus 6 points because I picked a few people and they didn't show up. So minus six. So we're going to go down the list, starting with the last entry, which is entry number 8, I think. Yes, coming in last with a total of 6 points, but then he was had two minus. So coming in with 4 points, we have Alan Chacha. Thank you, Alan Chacha, NWO member, ex-NWO member, since the NWO doesn't really exist anymore. Coming in 7th with a total of 9 points, but he was minus 1. With a total of 8 points, we have Scott Crawford coming in 7th place. 6th place, we have Paul Lindsay coming in 6th. You had a total of 15, but you were minus 6 points. So you had a total of 9 after that. Sorry, Paul. You started really strong, Paul, and then just the rumbles just they hurt you. all right, what else we've got? He's 6th. 5th, coming in 5th place, we've got Zach Davis, my little brother. He had 13, but he was minus 2, so he came in with 11 points all up. Coming in 5th place, Zach, there you go. All right, coming in 4th with a total of 18. You're minus 6 out of that 18. It gives you a total score of 12. That is myself. I only got 12, man. I shouldn't have picked so many surprises. Otherwise, I would have done okay. All right, who we got next? Oh, coming in 3rd. 3rd and 2nd is a tie, actually. Who we got left? Rob, Doninelli, and Jordy. So a tie coming in 3rd and 2nd place, I guess you can say. We have Rob Hungy coming in with 15 points, minus 1 equals 14. And Doninelli with 20 points, minus 6 equals 14. Don would have won. if it wasn't for the surprise entrance. He would have won. But the winner and the new Dummies of Wrestling World Champion is Jordy Van Vuklis, who has a total of 20 points. You minus 3, you get 17. 17 points to Jordy Van Vuklis. This is out of 34 points, mind you. So I got 12 out of 34, which is horrible. The Rumble is really hard to predict, but Jordy, congratulations. And you know what? As the last champion, you beat me fair and square. I'll give it to you. I'm just going to say this. Well done. Well done. I'm proud of you. You know, Jordy to me is basically like I'm the Chris Jericho and Jordy's my Sammy Guevara. He's my protege. I've taught him well. So I'm proud of Jordy. I'm a proud ex-champion looking to the future of the Dummies of Wrestling. So Jordy wears that belt proudly. And show it off, Jordy. Make it your own. It's yours now. You are now the champion. And I can go back to trying to win it back off ya, because it ain't over, champ. I'm coming for ya. Alright, so that's it. Now, do you want to hear my thoughts on the Rumble? Do you want to hear that? If you don't, you can stop listening, but totally up to you. But I'm going to give you my thoughts. So here's the thing, man. Everyone's speaking pretty negatively on this whole event. And after it was all said and done, I walked away relatively happy. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't. I walked away not satisfied, but not upset. And the reason being is because the Rumble in the previous years, the past 2 years, have been absolutely utter shit. This one here was a leap above the previous two. It was. As much as you guys don't want to admit it, it was. And the main reason that this one is better than the last two, in my opinion, is because of the star power. Last year, we had entries being taken up by the Street Profits, all these tag teams that you knew had no reason being in there. This year, at least we've got actually single superstars who you could see one day holding that gold. Obviously not now, but it was more superstars. There's more heavy hitters in this, and I was satisfied with that. Now, I'm not going to say it's without its faults. I'm not at all. I will say this. That was my thoughts after watching it. I listened to a couple of podcasts today, and a couple of podcasts that I listened to their words and I trust their opinions, and both these podcasts were pretty negative on the event in itself. And one of these podcasts is usually pretty positive with the WWE product, but this time not so much. So it was a bit of a shock to me, but he made some very good points. That podcast is JD from New York. Go check that guy out. He's a pretty good, he's on YouTube. Go check out his thoughts. He's good to listen to. But he had some good points. And it made me think, am I wrong about not hating the Royal Rumble? And I started to think, and I'm like, huh, maybe I am. Because in my opinion, to have a successful Rumble, you need four different ingredients. Number one, fun returns or surprises. People that you haven't, that you wouldn't expect to see on screen. Number two, story building. Build up some stories. We're on the road to WrestleMania, man. Get some stories happening. Give us something to stink our teeth into and get us gossiping about, oh, maybe because they haven't had a confrontation at the Rumble, maybe these two are going to be at Mania. Number three, cool spots. That's what we want to see. Remember the days of Kofi Kingston doing funny spots and getting back into the Rumble? Or even last year when Logan Paul and Ricochet had that collision midair? Yeah, cool spots. And number four is the superstars themselves. Unpredictability. I don't want to see the Street Profits come out. I don't want to see fucking Otis and Tozawa come out, because you know they're not going to win. It's just a wasted spot. So after I thought that, and I'm like, the four ingredients to make a good Rumble, I really started to dig deep and think to myself. And this year's Royal Rumble, and I'm mainly talking about the men's here. I'm not talking about the women. We'll get to the women in a second. But the men's here. There was only really one out of those four ingredients. We didn't get really any fun returns besides Andrade El Idolo. He was it. We got no real story building, maybe one. And even then, it wasn't that great. I'll elaborate on that later. Cool spots. There was nothing. There was not one. Can you remember anything interesting that happened in this year's Rumble? Nothing. Nothing. The only ingredient is it had actually decent wrestlers in it. There wasn't, besides about four, there wasn't any wasted spots besides four different spots, and I'll get to those in a second. But I'm starting to think maybe I was wrong, and maybe this year's Rumble wasn't as good as I once thought. But let's get into it. Let's get into it. We start the pay-per-view with Hulk Hogan doing an intro about Tampa, where this event is held. And let me just say that Tampa, the crowd in Tampa Bay, you guys really need to look at yourselves and wonder, do we deserve another Royal Rumble? Do we deserve another pay-per-view? Because you guys sucked. I'm sorry, man. The crowd in Tampa Bay was absolutely fucking shit. They did not pop at all. And maybe it was the event, but I still think that there was things worth popping for or getting excited about, and you gave us nothing. There was moments in this crowd where it was silent. Absolutely. It sounded like a fucking New Japan crowd. Like nothing. Absolutely nothing. So Tampa Bay crowd, for shame. Then we start the show with the fireworks, all that stuff, and something that I always hate, I seem to be the only person in the world that hates it when this happens, is we hear the music, let's go, and Pat fucking McAfee comes out to the crowd. Why does everyone love this guy? He's like a fucking college jock who's still living in college. I just find him so fucking annoying. I cannot get behind this dude at all. I do not like Pat McAfee. I say it every time he shows up. I'm like a broken fucking record here, man. I fucking hate this guy. I hate this guy probably more than Cody Rhodes. And you know how much I dislike Cody Rhodes. So as soon as Pat McAfee came out, I should have realized that this isn't going to be a good event for me. But we start with the Women's Royal Rumble. And I will say this. I thought the Women's Rumble was better than the men's for the second year in a row. Number one hits, and it's Natalya. Okay. Look, I don't mind Natalya. I think she's very pretty. I think she can go in the ring. But I wanted something bigger. More excitement for number one. Luckily, we get that with number two, and it's the returning Naomi. And I completely forgot about Naomi. I had her in my mind for weeks, and I forgot to put her on the scorecard. My bad. So Natalya and Naomi are number one. Bayley, who I picked to win, and most of us actually did pick Bayley. I think there was only two people that didn't pick Bayley to win. Bayley comes out number three, and I'm like, oh, shit. Is she really going to last from number three? Spoiler alert, she does. Number five, Jordynne Grace, the TNA Women's World Champion. This is cool, man. This is something I enjoyed. This was a cool surprise. I did really enjoy that, and she looked fantastic. She showed up, and she worked her ass off. Really cool to see. I would like to see more of her. This is my first view of Jordynne Grace. So good work. Oscar comes out, and Bayley and Oscar, There was a little bit of storytelling there. You could tell that there was some animosity. Bayley was upset as to why Oscar was there. I did enjoy that. Indy Hartwell, the first woman eliminated. There we go. No one picked Indy Hartwell. Bianca Belair, number 10, she comes out. Kairi Sane comes out. And before she's eliminated, she holds onto the side of the ring and just like Spider-Man, and it looks fucking insane. What she did was incredible. Piper Niven comes out and the crowd, you could hear a fucking pin drop. Holy shit. I said to my wife, I'm like, no way. What the fuck is up with the crowd? They're absolutely dead. This is shocking. But Nia Jax then comes out at number 19. And there was a cool spot that I did appreciate of Nia and Piper Niven both squashing Chelsea Green. I thought that was funny. And it kept happening. That was cool. But then Becky comes out at number 21. Interesting part. And it's at this point. And you guys can choose to believe me or not. I speak the truth here. I tell you when I'm wrong. I tell you when I'm right. But this is 100% truth. No pun intended. I wrote down this note in my notes when I take notes watching the wrestling. I wrote, wouldn't it be so funny if R-Truth came out into the Women's Royal Rumble? Next thing, and this is 10 minutes later, R-Truth comes out into the Women's Rumble. And I'm like, what the fuck? I literally just wrote that down. I showed my wife and she was like, oh, you guessed it. I thought it was great. I'm like, good minds think alike. Choose to believe it or not, but I did predict that, and it's because of me that it happened. Someone is hacking my phone and seeing what I'm writing. So you're welcome. Number 27, Roxanne Perez. And the reason I mentioned this is because this was spoiled. I watched the pre-show because that's how fucking excited I was for the Royal Rumble. I watched the pre-show and they showed clips of before any fam was in the building. They showed a clip of Randy Orton walking around the arena, and in the background flashed up Roxanne Perez's name. And I'm like, oh, well, thanks for fucking spoiling that. But she came out, she looked good, but not as good as number 28, which was Jade Cargill. Wow. Jade Cargill showed up tonight and she did great. I thought she did really, really well. Really cool to see her perform in the WWE. She eliminates Nia, which was big for her. And it's got me thinking, is that the Mania match, her and Nia? Or are we going to get something a little better? And I think we're going to get something a little better because later on, we get a stare down with Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. And I'm like, this is the Mania match. This has got money written all over it. As much as I am not a fan of Bianca, this would be a good match if Cargill has improved. That said. But either way, I'm excited for it. Number 29 was Tiffany Stratton. She came out, did some really cool stuff. But number 30 hit. And I had in my scorecard Sasha Banks and AJ Lee. Yep, call me a fucking mark. Number 30 hits, and it's Liv Morgan. And I'm not going to lie, man, I was a little disappointed. I love Liv. I think it was a cool entry for her to come out, but I was so hyped in my own mind that it was going to be Sasha Banks or AJ Lee or something like that, and I was wrong. So, yep. Jade eliminated Becky and Naomi. That was big for Jade. And then we have the final four, kind of, because there was the final five, and then two of them got eliminated straight away. So there was a final three, but what I perceived to be the final four was Bayley, Liv, Jade, and Bianca. This was a nail-biting ending. I was happy with the last three, which was Bayley, Liv, and Jade, but Bayley ends up winning the match. We almost all of us picked it. Bayley lasts 63 minutes and 3 seconds. I think now she has the record, I think. I could be wrong. But I enjoyed this match. It wasn't as great as I was expecting. There was a lot of filler spots. There was. I wish we could have gotten some returning legends or something like that. Melina, even that would have been fun. Lita would have been great to see. Of course, Sasha. Oh, honestly, I didn't care about Sasha, but AJ Lee, I thought would have been great to see her come back, but who knows. But I will say this, Jade Cargill is going to be a fucking huge star. If she gets better in the ring compared to her AEW run, she's going to be on fire. And I can't wait to see it. So I give this match a 4 stars. I do. Not perfect, but I was entertained. Next match, we've got the WWE Universal Championship second match of the card. What? Before all this, there was a commercial for Slim Jim. And if you are like me and dig through the dirt sheets, you know that Slim Jim pulled their sponsorship from WWE because of the Vince McMahon allegations. So I did not expect to see Slim Jim, and I was a little surprised when they come up. But I guess with the news that Vince is now resigned and gone, Slim Jim's like, okay, we'll come back. I don't know. I have no intel, but I'm guessing that's what happened. So before the match, we get Samantha Irvine announcing, which she did for every match on this PLE. Can we give some fucking love to Samantha Irvine? She may be one of the best ring announcers that we've ever seen. I love her voice is fantastic. She delivers it perfectly. I love Samantha Irvine. I think she's awesome at what she does. Right. Look, man, this match was good. I heavily enjoyed this match. A lot of people saying it felt too quick, and I'm going to agree. It did. It ran almost 20 minutes, but it just, I don't know, it just felt really quick. It did. It wasn't as in-depth as I was hoping it for. Everyone knew that Roman was retaining. No one picked anyone else but Roman in the scorecard. I don't think anyone out there picked anyone differently. But, yeah, it was a good match. It was, for what it was, even though it was very, very predictable, I did enjoy it. We get 3 RKOs in a row. We get Solo interfering, of course, as is tradition for any Bloodline match. Orton and LA got knocked out and laid on top of each other, but both shoulders were on the mat, so the ref didn't count, which I thought was a smart move of Solo to do that. I like that, because if they didn't, and Randy's shoulders were on the mat and LA was on top, then everyone would have been bitching about that moment, but they actually did something nice. But eventually, Roman pins AJ after hitting a spear to retain the championship, and I picked AJ to take the pinfall. I wasn't sure when I chose that, but in hindsight, I am glad I took that. But look, while it was a predictable match, it was still a good match. People online calling this a filler match or a slow and boring match, I don't get it. What the fuck were they watching? I really don't understand it. I don't get it. 4 stars for that. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie. We then go to the US Championship, Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens, and it seems to me that they made this US title in this match feel just as important as the world title. I don't know, it's just my thoughts when it was all happening, but Kevin Owens comes out with no cast at all. I thought he would at least come out to the ring with the cast, but no cast at all, and this was a really good match. It was. I heavily enjoyed this match. I thought it was great. One of Logan's friends, I don't know his name, he's in Logan's entourage, tries to interfere, but no. We get Grayson Waller and Austin Theory giving the brass knucks to Logan Paul. And the ending of this match, I'm hearing so many different thoughts about it. Some people liked it. Some people thought it was an ending for a SmackDown, and I'm like, no, this was a good ending to this match, because if Logan's going to retain, you don't want to make Owens look weaker. Kevin Owens hasn't held a championship since 2016. He needs to go into WrestleMania with some bump. And I think this is a good way to do it. Kevin Owens punches or steals the weapon away from Logan and uses the brass knuckles on Logan, punching him and giving the pin. I was like, holy shit, they're giving Kevin Owens the win here. And then the ref sees the brass knucks and disqualifies Kevin Owens. I was like, wow, that's actually something we've never really seen before. And if we have, I don't remember it. But that was cool. I thought it was a really great ending. I really liked the ending of that match. So well done. But it begs the question, what happens to Kevin Owens in WrestleMania? Because I honestly believe it's going to be Logan Paul versus LA Knight for the US title at WrestleMania. I think that's where LA Knight gets his first singles championship. But I could be wrong. Maybe it's a ladder match with multiple people. Maybe Kevin Owens is in that ladder match with Logan Paul, LA Knight, AJ Styles. I don't know. I'd be all for that, to be honest. At the same time, I wouldn't mind seeing LA Knight win the championship in a singles match. But I guess we'll wait and see. I don't know what Kevin Owens does at WrestleMania. It's time for the Men's Royal Rumble. And once again, Samantha Irvine doing her best, as she always does, announcing this. Number one, Jey Uso, as your once champion, myself, predicted. And so did Paul. Paul, you also predicted that. Jey Uso comes out, and number two was Jimmy Uso. And I'm like, all right, here we fucking go. This is good. We're already doing storyline, and it's the first two people. I liked it. I liked this, how it was the brothers starting the Rumble. But where it went, I was really upset with where it went, because there was no story building at all. What I thought was going to happen, and honestly, what should have happened, is Jey Uso comes out. Number two is Jimmy Uso. They brawl for a bit, and just before the timer of number three comes out, Jey Uso kicks out Jimmy. This sets up a feud for them to have. They want to face each other at Mania. They've said it on many interviews. This sets up a feud for them. What we got is Jimmy getting thrown out by, I think it was Gunther. Had nothing to do with Jey. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, this is a perfect time to build story. Have the two brothers throw each other out. But no, they decided not to do that. Instead, they decided to have number three come out. What's her name? Grayson Waller, who is a fellow Australian and hails from my state, my city, Sydney. And I don't like him. I think he's talented in some aspects, but when he comes out with a microphone, it's very cringe. And it's just like, shut up. Shut up. Stop calling everyone lad. People over here in Australia don't call people lads. That's not a thing. I mean, there's some people that do, but those people are douchebags. Stop doing that. And the whole shoey, keep talking about pouring beer into a shoe and drinking it out of a shoe. That's what retarded people do who can't get girlfriends, to show off and show everyone how, quote unquote, cool they are. That's not a cool thing to do in Australia. That's what the rejects do. Sorry to anyone who does shoeys here in Australia. Number four, Andrade El Idolo comes out, and predictable return, but still great to see it. I really enjoyed it. Grayson Waller is the first one eliminated. No one picked Grayson Waller to be the first one eliminated. We then see Carlito come out eventually later, and he, I think this is for the first time since his return, has an apple. Where did he get this apple out of? I don't know. He's dick. But he chews the apple, and I thought, oh, he's not gonna actually spit it. But he does, and I popped. I thought it was great. Just need to fix his song. You know, Carlito's old song? I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool. It's not that anymore. It's something else. It says something else at the start. Are you cool or something? Shut up. Anyway, Bobby Lashley comes out at number 11 and Bobby is gone. Well, he tosses out Karrion Kross. But then Karrion Kross, who was already eliminated, gets Bobby Lashley out. And these two brawl. The Authors of Pain come down and the Street Profits come out. And I was like, as soon as I saw the Street Profits, I was like, yes. It means they're not in the Rumble. Okay, this is good. This is the only story that was really told in the Rumble of these two factions fighting. So at least one story happened. Number 12, Ludwig Kaiser comes out, and this is one of the wasted spaces. I know you want to showcase one of your talents, but I honestly feel that this is where a legend could have come out, a surprise, something to pop the crowd. But no, we get Ludwig Kaiser. 14 is Finn Balor. 15 is Cody Rhodes. And Cody Rhodes eliminates Shinsuke. Cool. So Shinsuke's buried again. He's done. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with Shinsuke. Why bother? Why does Shinsuke stick around? He's so much more talented than what they've given him. But Kofi was in the match, I forgot to mention, and Kofi gets eliminated just very poorly. There was no fun with Kofi. He didn't try and jump on the fence or anything like that. There was nothing. Absolutely nothing. And while I was somewhat enjoying it at this point, I started to get the feels that this is a very lackluster Royal Rumble. There's nothing really happening. A person will come out and get a few moves in, maybe do a few punches, and then the next person comes out. And that's really all that happened during the whole event. Before that, Ivar comes out, another wasted space in my opinion. He's good, I like him, but everyone knew that Ivar wasn't going to win. The number 20 hits, and it's Bron Breakker. Here we go. Here's someone that I enjoyed. Bron looked fucking amazing. Bron eliminated Jimmy. That's who it was. Bron eliminated Jimmy, and that was a missed opportunity. I was pretty upset about that. And then number 21 comes, and it's almost. And I'm like, Jesus, fuck. We always have to have a big guy in the Rumble, don't we? This was another wasted space. I didn't enjoy that. But as much as Ludwig Kaiser and Ivar and Almas were all wasted spaces in my opinion, nothing compares to number 22. The music hits and it's Pat fucking McAfee. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you shitting me? Pat McAfee is in the Rumble. And according to all these fucking news reports today, Pat McAfee had no idea he was in the Rumble until his music hit. A lot of people are saying that Pat McAfee, this was the spot that was meant to go to Brock Lesnar. Okay. So you have so many people behind the stage. Trick Williams from NXT. You have Chad Gable, who's so good in the ring. You have so many different people that's not in the Rumble, but you give it to this fucking college loser called Pat McAfee. And what does he do? In and out. Eliminates himself and that's it. Does the whole Drew Carey thing. Oh, I was fucking pissed. I was so angry when that happened. I'm like, this could have been something great. You could have given us something great. DDP. Diamond Dallas Page was backstage. Why couldn't he come out? Do a bit of a run. Give us a pop. You imagine? Like the fucking rumble sound that I can't do with my voice, obviously. And then you have, yo, it's me. It's me. It's DDP. Cool. That's a pop. I fucking love DDP. But no, you give it to this washed up fucking NFL player. Who acts like a fucking child, who stands on the announcer's desk and dances like a fucking retard. I hate this guy so much. I do not get the love for him. He's, and then he gets fucking eliminated, right? And then he just keeps talking about it on the commentary. Shut the fuck up. I'm trying to enjoy the Rumble and you keep talking about how you were eliminated because you're a pussy. Fuck off, Pat McAfee. I cannot fucking stand this guy. Holy shit. All right, JD McDonut, whatever his name is number 23. Dude looks like a fucking human Funko Pop. Holy shit. I want to see more of him because he amuses me so much. His head is so much bigger than the rest of his body. It's weird. 24 is R-Truth, and he is a fucking national treasure. R-Truth was the MVP of the whole night for me. I love this. So I wrote this in notes, but Finn Balor came in at number 14. I did not remember him getting eliminated. And I was speaking to Paul Lindsay. Hey, Paul. And I asked him, and I'm like, where's Finn? And Paul said the same thing. He's like, I don't remember him getting eliminated. Did I look away for 1 second? Because apparently Bron Breakker eliminated him. I read that up, but I don't remember that happening. So must have been like a split second, but whatever. Damian Priest comes out and he eliminates R-Truth. Fuck you, Priest. Number 27, this is the pick that I had, the number. I had the number 27 to be the winner. CM Punk. And I was like, oh, okay, at least maybe I'll get 1 point. Number 28 was Ricochet. Cool. 29 was Drew. Cool. And there we go. Number 30. And I'm like, I completely blanked on who comes out. I was like, holy shit. Is it going to be The Rock? Is it going to be MJF? Is it going to be someone cool? And the music hits. Oh, Sami Zayn. And I am going to be completely honest with you here. I don't care for Sami Zayn. I did last year. Now he's back doing his same old shtick. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't ever see you holding the title. I don't ever want to see you hold the world championship. He's a mid-carder through and through to me. Even more so than Cody. I just don't see it. I don't see the big deal of Sami Zayn. And it's going to anger a lot of people because a lot of people suck Sami Zayn's dick, and that's fine. But I just don't see the big deal of Sami Zayn. So he came out number 30, and I felt guilty about being upset about it, but I was disappointed about him coming out number 30. So a few people eliminate each other, and we're down to the final four. Drew, McIntyre, Gunther, Cody Rhodes, and Punk. Few of us had that predicted, so well done to us. Drew's gone, Gunther's gone, it's down to Cody and Punk, and there was a few things that made me realize that Punk is winning this. Cody is winning this. Punk kept getting the upper hand, and the things that Punk was saying to Cody made me realize, holy shit, Cody is fucking winning this. Now, I predicted this. I said on the last episode, you can go back and listen to it, but I said WWE keeps mentioning that we haven't had back-to-back winners since Stone Cold. Why would they keep mentioning this if they weren't going to pull the pin? Are they trying to throw us for a loop? Is that what they're doing? I wish they did. I really wish they did. Cody wins. And I'm just laying. I'm sitting on my lounge. Just feeling defeated. And I'm like, really? Real? Like, we're doing this again. WrestleMania 40. We're doing Roman versus Cody. Again. I would fucking love it. I would pop so hard if Roman beats Cody again. I would laugh so hard because the amount of people that would have the absolute shits, that would be so pissed off, would be hysterical to me. Once again, I don't see Cody as world champion material. That's just me. That's just me saying that. He's always been a mid-carder to me. But that's it, man. Cody wins the Rumble. Yay, we get Cody and Roman again. Awesome. So where does that lead everyone else? Well, we have Elimination Chamber coming up next. What I think will happen is that one of the Elimination Chambers is going to be who faces Seth at Mania. And I feel CM Punk is going to win that. Another chamber match is going to be who faces Rhea Ripley for the title. Because I feel Bayley is going to be challenging Io Sky after they swerve her and kick her out of Damage Plan. So who's going to face Rhea Ripley? They're going to have Elimination Chamber for that, and Becky is going to be the one to win that. Seems so predictable. Can you twist it up? Give us something different. You know, how funny would it be if The Rock fucking came out and challenged Seth Rollins? Oh, people would be angry. He's angry. But that's it, man. That's Royal Rumble as a whole. And while it wasn't perfect, I don't think it was as bad as people are giving it out to be, making it out to be. I thought it had some high points. It definitely had some low points. Not as good as it should have been, but not as bad as the previous 2 years. I didn't walk out of this Rumble pissed off. I didn't want to punch my TV this time. And I know that there's people listening, such as our world champion, Jordy, who were really angry with this. Really didn't like it. But cut it some slack, because last year's was a lot worse. Just my opinion. That is it for me, guys. Probably, I'm struggling to find time to do this show. So I probably won't have another show until the Elimination Chamber. But we'll see. Crazier things have happened. But until next time, thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Hollywood Tim Davis. Goodbye.